I'm live? How long have I been live?
Since the football story.
Okay. Perfect. Hey, officer, minister, could you come pray me in?
I just got here.
And? Like my coach says, good, get in the game.
That's funny. Go on. Let me get dressed.
Ooh,
like a shirt.
Yeah.
Nice. Look at him with his little silver chain around his neck.
Bling, bling. All right, pray me in, man.
Behold.
Did you work today?
No, sir.
Good. That's why you're in a good mood.
It's like showing up to a barbecue and the guy says, hey, get behind the grill.
Right.
Love you, man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening that we get to come and just learn from you. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through Pastor Sandy and teach us something precious from your throne. May you use your word to inspire us and strengthen us to go forth and build your kingdom. Father, we're praying for our loved ones, for our families, for our co-workers, those who are stubborn, those who are unwilling to see and repent. Father, those who are stuck in the world. God, as they're listening to the world tell them they need more boosters, let us tell them they need more of Jesus.
Yeah.
Father, we love you. And so bless this evening. Bless your people. Provide for them and protect them. Heal those who are suffering, those who are in the hospitals, those who are sick at home. Lay your hands upon them. We love you, Lord. May this evening be a blessing unto you, our Lord, our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
I got to show the shirt.
Yeah, that's a nice shirt. Man, that guy designed some good shirts. What's the other one over there you got? Oh, this is one of the favorites. You got this one too?
Yeah, that's correct.
Nice. Blood was shed that you may have life. Romans 5:8-3. Check that out.
Nice.
See that?
Can they go on our QR code and
Hook
onto the link and get one?
Yeah, this is, and we want to know, people know, we're not, this is something that Brent is doing. He designs the shirts. I didn't encourage him to do it, but God put it on his heart. And, you know, if he makes money doing it and people love the shirts, I think it's always good to represent Jesus.
Yeah.
I went to the burger stand the other day and I walked in. I had a Jesus shirt on and the girl was, are you a Christian? I was like, yeah, check this out. It said, like, love like the Messiah.
Yeah.
And then on the back, it gave all these things about Jesus. And she was so happy to meet another Christian.
That's deep.
Yeah, her manager said, you're going to make her cry. That's all she talks about is Jesus.
Really?
Yeah. That's so awesome. Let's get started here.
What's up with the cup, Pastor Sandy? Show the cup, man.
This cup Sharon got me from our original cup people who bought the football one, which my son took to work. And he has no idea where it is now.
Oh.
So, okay, you guys. I'm going to need you to be patient with me because I have a lot of cards, and I want to acknowledge each one, but I won't read everything, but I'll acknowledge them, okay? Then we'll get started. This is from Rosie Jones, and it's got Snoopy on it. Did you guys watch Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown? I watch that every year, because at the end he asks, what is Christmas all about? And then Linus breaks him down. Luke chapter 1. And he tells him about the child born and, oh man, it just, Linus just preaches to him for about 4 or 5 minutes at the end. You never watched that?
I haven't.
It's my favorite. Thank you, Rosie, for the card. Appreciate it. And then this one is from Renee Winslow. I got late Christmas cards, but it's better than having late New Year's cards because I don't believe in New Year's till Nissan first.
Right.
And so this is from Renee Winslow. So thank you so very much. It says, thank you, Pastor Ben. so much for sharing God's word each week. I look forward to each week listening to your YouTubes. You know what I love is that people watch us to learn the Bible. It's not to be entertained. It makes them go study. Sometimes they go study and they send me their whole study. And I like, I do not have time to go over a 20-page study. And this is from, like, now either her name is Levon Sarvis or Levanye Sarvis, but we had Minister Levanye, she spelled her name the same way. So if it's Levon, but you know, or Levanye, you know, if you want to be fancy. So, and this is my card for today. I'm going to put this in my gym, Big Dog Gym. Keep barking. So thank you very much. And this is from Elaine Nguyen. And she wrote me a long letter. And I have to read that because it looks very detailed. But she says, it's rapture time. Be happy. Hanukkah. Blood covenant is broken. Blah, 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 blah. Man, all this stuff. So praise God. Thank you. I love that card. And I don't want to bore you guys, but... Oh, this is from Hilda and Virginia. And she just sent me a little note from last day's ministry. Thank you, Hilda. You know you're my buddy. I thank you so much. So she's the one who gave me the beautiful tie and the tallit. Okay. I'm going to have to do some of these tomorrow, Pastor Ben. Else people are going to fall asleep and say, I stayed up all night to hear you read cards and I fell asleep. Okay, and this is for Debbie Morrison. Thank you very much. And I'm going to put this down and then we're going to get back to it tomorrow morning. But I do. Oh, I have to show this one though. Look at this.
Isn't that beautiful?
Ta-da. You sent me a card that happy.
Beautiful young lady.
Yeah, used to be a card that happy. That's just. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, she said the Lord told her to handwrite her own card.
This is William. Yeah, this is William who the Lord told him to do his own card. So he did his own Christmas card. Yeah. Okay. We're going to get started. We'll read the rest of the cards tomorrow morning because I will be here. We got to get started with this Bible study. What's the title of today's Bible study?
Are we there yet, Abba?
Abba, are we there yet? And I'm not saying you guys are saying that. I'm saying that too because it's been a long journey and I'm really trying to... figure this thing out so that we can go home. I know where we're at. I know exactly where we're at. So we're not. Oh, and my wifey poo just walked in. Okay. All right. So before we get started, let me talk about this right first, okay? So I'm looking at, because I'm really doing a lot of study on cryptocurrency, because I'm trying to watch the setup, you know. So I'm reading it. It says Microsoft new Mark of the Beast technology is patent 060606, Bill Gates, and that's the Microsoft patent, okay. And that patent was for March 26, 2020. And it's WO2020060606 was published. And it is a Microsoft patent for cryptocurrency technology that is connected to the movement of a person's body. So, as I'm reading this, up popped this thing. How do you guys get fat checks? I call them the big fat lies. They're called fat checks, right? Mm-hmm. So they want to let you know that what you're reading is conspiracy, so this is the truth. Mm-hmm. So they said, the claim that Microsoft Bill Gates has filed a patent number with 0606 for a microchip which is to be inserted into the body, which allows activity with the cryptocurrency. It says, the fact is, is that Microsoft 060606 patent doesn't refer to injectable Microsoft chips. It's true that the Microsoft has a patent application with 060606 in it, but it's for a system that rewards physical activity for using cryptocurrency. See? And then I was reading more, and it says that, and luciferase is a real scientific term, describes a group of natural occurring enzymes that are under the correct conditions, causes emission of light. However, MEMS grossly mislead and inaccurate several ways. No COVID-19 vaccine is called the luciferase, and no COVID vaccine contains luciferase. Rather, luciferase has been used in some COVID-related research.
Mercy.
That's what I was saying. Then it says, sign Satan. No, I don't say that part, but basically, it might. You know what I mean? You're a father of lies, and you're gonna check, and you're called fat check. Okay, so I was like, this is so stupid. It's like, it's crazy. Anyway, Revelation chapter 13. What does it say? Here is wisdom. Let him who hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. I want to ask you this. How is it that in this particular year, at this particular time, you all automatically have a patent number with 060606 that has to do with financial currency? So it's just, I don't know, you know, fact check wanted me to make sure that I got my facts right. Okay. Now, as we go through tonight's Bible study, I want you guys to understand something about me. One of the things is that the way I study the Bible is the way that God is showing me how to study, okay? I would have never known how to study the Bible if I didn't learn Hebrew first. I don't know how anyone can read the Bible and not know some Hebrew to guide them so that they know what they're reading and why God put it there. You understand? So when God called me to ministry, his thing was, I need you to learn Hebrew, because I wanted to go back to Bible school. And he says, no, I need you to learn Hebrew, and I'm going to teach you the Bible. And through doing that, it caused me to look at the Bible from the author's perspective and not from the reader's perspective, okay? Because the author has a story that he's trying to tell. Like, all of these scenarios for rapture started in Genesis. And if you think that the first one started when Eve was brought to Adam, that wasn't the first one. The first one was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And then it clarifies it in Psalms 117. So it's like all of these rapture scenarios are written to let the body of Christ know that there is a rapture scenario in the Bible. There is a wedding that's going to happen. Is it possible for Noah and the ark to be about Israel? It's impossible. You know why? Because it has to do with one person called the rest, and Jesus is our rest, rescuing seven people and bringing them upon the ark, right? And grace ending on the earth and this judgment coming. Now, Israel's number is not seven. The church number is seven. There's seven churches, okay? So every time there's something that has to do with the church, it's going to show you that it's seven, okay? So you got Jesus, you got Noah and his seven family members rescued. So this is about the church, you understand? When Moses left Egypt, and then because they were trying to kill him and the Jews rejected him, he went and he married a Midian woman who had, it was seven daughters. This guy had seven daughters. And God wanted you to know it was seven daughters because he wants you to know when Christ is rejected, he's going to marry seven. You understand? So it's always God's detail into showing you the Bible so that no one can come to you and say something really stupid like, the rapture wasn't a doctrine until 1695. And you're like, it's just ridiculous because you're like, no, I started reading about the rapture in Genesis chapter 2, you know? And matter of fact, if you really want to get to it, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 and 9, which we'll go over tomorrow, not tonight, because it has too much Hebrew in it, and I know we'll have more Hebrew students, but completely linked Genesis 1 through 9 to the rapture and Psalms, and God did it in a way that can't be denied, right? So when I'm talking about the rapture, I'm talking about it because it's all God talks about.
Yeah.
From Genesis to Revelation, it's all he talks about. It's like this marriage and this wedding and my son and all of this is always seems to be on God's mind at all times. Okay, so the people that I studied with, like J.R. Church, Gary Stearman, Yaakov Ramzel, which Hilda Page, also she used to study with this guy. He was the first guy to do gematrias, a Jewish guy, and he did them by hand. No computer at the time.
Right.
So him, let me think of who else would have been, Dave Hunt. There's a lot of really good Bible teachers. I just want you to know, I am one of the black guys that never watched T.D. Jakes. I never watched Creflo Dollar. I knew it was a, like, to me it was like a clown show, and I knew I grew up with that, and so I knew that that wasn't real church. I had already been in Islam and back inside of the church, so I've already seen the clown shows, and I know what having church is and having Jesus is.
Right.
And I knew that there was a big difference. So I never followed any of the popular preachers that the black community was supposed to follow, right? I was always interested in what is Chuck Missler teaching on today? What is Yaakov Ramzel teaching on concerning Hebrew today? You know, what is J.R. Church? All these people that are really studying the Bible. Because I want you to know that the Bible gave us a guideline to the end times, okay? And the guideline was, it will be as it was in the days of Noah, but the guideline is also the fig tree generation. So we have guidelines that Christ gave to us in Matthew that are supposed to guide us all the way to the end. And there are things that we can look at so that we know what time and season that we're in, okay? So one of the things that J.R. Church had in his book, and someone was on the internet, I mean, they're quoting me as if I did this. I didn't write Prophecy in the Psalms. J.R. Church wrote Prophecy in the Psalms. So the big discovery of this thing is, which some guy posted, but they were giving me the credit for it. It says, did you know? Look at the date and then look at Psalms 14. Then look at Psalms 53. Did you know that Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible? 1914, Stalin rose to power. 1953, Stalin died. In Psalms 14, when he rose to power, he made his favorite quote. What's his favorite quote? The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Because he said, you know they're lying to us, there's no God. That's what Stalin said in 1914. And he was very famous for making all of these really cool quotes. So the reporters used to really like to talk to him because he would make all of these quotes. He made a lot of quotes that if you look at Stalin's quotes, he's made a lot. But his big one was, you know they're lying, there is no God. And so he said this in 1914. In Psalms 14, God wrote it down. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Then in Psalms 53, the very year that he died, the Hebrew says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So God marked the day he said it, and he marked the day that he died, and put it in each psalm so that you would know that God was counting the psalms. If God wasn't counting the psalms, then God wouldn't have knew that he said it in 1914, and God would not have known to print it again because he's going to say it again in 1953. So it shows that God is counting the psalms, right? We have to know and understand that. We have to know and understand that 1917 is prophesied of the rescue of Israel and is prophesied in Psalm 17. We have to know that Psalms 39 through Psalms 45 is a perfect mirror of the Holocaust. And the Holocaust started in 39 and it ended in 1945 when they were rescued. So from Psalms 39, Israel is continually crying out to God to rescue us from the evil man, it says in one of the Psalms. So from Psalms 39, from 1939 to 1945, then 1945, all of a sudden, Psalms 45 says, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of a song about a king, right? And so now 45 is the release of all of this, and the Holocaust is over. Then you have 1946. There's a prophecy in 46. We never went over it. But in 47, it says the kings and generals of the world meet together to make a decision concerning the people of Abraham. So in 1947, the UN called all the leaders from all the countries to make a decision of what they're going to do with the Jews that have come out of the Holocaust. And they made the decision to do what? Give the land of Israel back to the Jews. But Psalms 47 had already said it hundreds of years before they even had the meeting. Then Psalms 48, which is still the 19th book, because we're talking about the 19th generation, says what? Israel is born again. And when you see this, what does it say in Psalms 48, verse 13? When you see this happen, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. Go and tell it to the last generation. Okay? So now that the fig tree is born in 1948, we go back to Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 3, and that chapter tells us what? Who the fig tree is. Because we know the fig tree's just been born, and then Jeremiah 24 tells us that the fig tree is Israel, okay? So we have no problem understanding when the last generation begins, and we have no problem understanding who the when the last generation began. You guys with me? Okay. So I said all that because we're at this point that prophecy is about over. Okay. I've been excited because I know I'm in the middle of the prophecy. That any time in this last generation, it could be the last generation. The guy that wrote 88 books for 88 Reasons for 88, He was going off of a scripture that said that the Jews suffered for a generation in the wilderness. So he's figured 40 years after 1948 is 1988, and I think that's when the rapture is going to happen, right? So in his figuring was correct only because he picked the right starting point. If he could have, if you chose the wrong starting point, then it makes no sense. But he chose the right starting point, which is what? The rebirth of the nation of Israel. And so when that didn't happen, then people started making predictions for, well, maybe it's going to be this year, or maybe it's going to be, mine was 2010, because 2017 is the 6,000th year. And I'm like, at the 6,000th year, we should be done.
Right.
Okay? So everybody's making predictions about, but it was something that Jesus said that brought us all back home. And what did he say? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. So what's the occurrence of what happened in the days of Noah? God gave Noah a 120-year count. And he said, this is when the judgment will come. Okay? Now, when it came, it was not just a flood in Middle Eastern area. It was a worldwide flood. The whole world was engulfed with water. So a worldwide judgment came upon the world after God counted off 120 years. Jesus says, it will be as it was in the days of Noah when it happens for us. So God wanted us to know, I'm counting the years. So when you get to 1901 and prophecies start happening, and then the World War I starts happens, then World War II happens, then Israel is born, then UN has a meeting, then all of these things are happening. Then 1967, Six-Day War happens, and it's marked in Psalm 67, and all of these things are happening. God is showing you what? I'm documenting to the world that I'm counting the 120 years. Now, when the 120th year arrives, it has to have a distinct information in it to let you know that this is the year, okay? So, you have your notes before you? Okay. Look at number 6 on there, where it says Psalms 121. You're on page 2. Now it says this. Psalms 120 began a new count of Psalms. Okay, the Psalms 120 becomes the Psalm of Ascent. Okay, so now you've had 119 Psalms. None of them have talked about ascending up, but Psalms 120 is the first Psalm of Ascent. And there's 15 of them, which gives you the Samech, which gives you the 120, which gives you the sin that happened. And so the fact that it has 15 means everything, okay? So, but there's one thing that it has to be true. It says the year is a judgment year, Psalms 120, and it says the beginning with a lie. So now, Psalms 120. In 2020, it couldn't just be a worldwide judgment. The reason why the worldwide judgment happens has to be because of what? A lie. It has to be a worldwide lie, because Psalms is saying, in Psalm 21, it says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Okay? So that is, if a worldwide judgment happened, maybe there was a war that just broke out and it started all over the world, okay? It would not be in line with Psalms 121. According to God, because it's prophesying each year in the Psalms, according to God, whatever happens in the 120th year, 2020, has to be the result. It has to be a worldwide judgment, and it has to be the result of a lie. And so, we're leaving your pastor out of this, because he's not in this.
They're ex-pastors.
Yeah, you're ex-pastor, sorry. Because if you don't, because the world, everybody in the world knows they're being lied to, okay? Everybody in the world knows they're being lied to. We can't control it. We can't make them stop lying because they have all the TV stations. So we can't really do anything, but everybody knows it's a lie. Because if I'm a football player and I catch COVID, I just have to sit out a couple of games. Then I'm back and I'm having fun again.
Don't say the word.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying that if it's deadly, how can so many players get it, have to sit out one game, and then come back next week and they're fine? That don't sound like a pandemic of something that's killing off the whole world, right? So everybody knows, just like the book of Psalms says, that the whole world is under a lie. And now it's being perpetuated more, right? Now you need this and now you need that. And then it's not going to end because what's the saying they say? Never waste a good crisis, right? So now that it's started, I'm trying to convince the world, and especially Christians, because if things look normal, you might begin to think that the Bible's not going to happen, because things are getting back to normal. I'm telling you that it's not going to get back to normal because the Bible says it's not going to get back to normal, okay? I'm telling you it's not going to get back to normal because I know you're in the last generation and you're in the fig tree generation. So I'm trying to keep your mind that the Bible is controlling the world's structure and history, not what you see on TV or what appears to be that things are getting back to normal, okay? It's not going to get back to normal unless God is going to restart all of prophecy all over again and make Israel leave the land again, then come back in 47, and then come back in 48, then have another six-day war, then count it all the way up to 120 years again, and then make it start, the judgment start by a lie. See, he's done it all for us, and he's shown us in Scripture. Do you think that it's me that has recognized all of this, and Revelations just come to me. I'm the Bible genius. No, God is showing me. I keep trying to tell you. The problem with me is this, and it should scare everybody. I'm still preaching this. Since 2004, I'm still preaching this. Why? Someone would say, why would he keep preaching this when he knows in 2010 that there was no rapture? Why would he keep preaching this if he knows in 2017 there was no rapture? Why would he keep preaching? Because I was there when he called me. And I can never get that out of my mind. When God says to you, this is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard. Okay? Prepare my people to leave. Because your message is to people, is to the church. Someone was asking me, why you don't do the ABCs of salvation? And I said, I'm sticking with what God gave me to do. Like if God gave another pastor that to do, beautiful. But I got to stick with what God tells me to do. Because my thing is, I've got to prepare you to leave. See, some people may learn the ABCs of the gospel, but they think that once they say the magic prayer that they're in, so they don't know what an aortus verb in Greek means. So my job is to pastor as a teacher to let them know that when you believe, it has to be a consistent eternal thing. When you confess, it has to be a consistent eternal thing. That's how the Greek is written. There's no one-time confession in Greek. You understand? You can't go, I confess one time and I'm over, now I'm saved forever. No, it doesn't exist in Greek. Aortis means whatever you're confessing, you got to confess it for the rest of your life. It has to become a intricate part of your life every day, and you have to walk in this for you, and you have to do it in order to be saved. Yes. If you don't do it, you don't get the promise. The promise is based on the aortis verb. Am I talking?
This is good. This is good.
That's what the promise is built on. It's built on, my promise with Drea is built on the fact that I said, I do. Do you think that's a one-time I do? Mm-hmm. That means I'm going to continue this, right? Until life do its part, right? So that's what God is saying to his people. I don't want your one-time prayer that you believe that I exist. Demons believe that. That's nothing to God. So this is why my job to the church is, okay, great, you're in Christ. Now walk in it. Pick up your cross and carry it. Die to yourself. Treat your wife like Christ treats the church. You know, give all these things that church people need to know, because when the rapture happened, guess what? This guy, it says, when the master left, he began to beat the servants and drink with the drunkards. Okay? And when the master returned, he beat him with many rods, right? He got punished. Because what? When his master left, he didn't treat everybody well and stay in line with what the master told him. He got new friends to drink. He began to drink with the drunkards and to beat the servants. He just became a mess. And when the master came back, caught him doing not what he's supposed to do. You understand?
Yeah.
So there's no such thing in the Greek. The Greek is the other half of the Bible. You understand? 24 letters, 8 plus 8 plus 8, Jesus. Greek is for people to understand the structure of it, so that when it's speaking to you, that you don't make up your own thing. You understand? It's a very specified language. Yeah. Very specified. Okay, I'm getting off. Because it really, if you language study, it's going to help you understand the Bible better. Okay? I can't believe that so many pastors for years have told women, you can't preach. And if they do preach, they treat them so bad, and because you're not supposed to. And nobody ever looked up the word that it's laleo in Greek, and it just means to speak out of order. Nobody ever decided to just look up the word, right? So for years, you just go, you can't speak. Women are not allowed to speak in a church. It's the language. Look, study to show thyself approved. Okay, now I'm back. Okay. Okay, so in 2021, judgment started all the way around the world. And according to Psalms 20, that judgment has to be because of a lie. This has happened. We watched it. The ark journey, they didn't come off the ark till the 121st year. Okay? So, it will be as it was in the days of Noah, is still very much alive. You understand? Now, watching my friend once again today, and he began to read Psalms 121. And it said, Shir le ma'alot asay ane al ha'harim mian yeba. Zora. Okay, let me explain what it's saying. It's because if you read your Bible, it'll have, you see, it on the top, it'll say a song of ascent. It'll give it as if it's a title, okay? It's a very bad way to do scripture because it's not a title. It's part of the scripture. So now it says, Shir Lema Alot. And when he read it, he said, wait a minute. All the other 15 Psalms don't say Lema Alot, making it an infinitive verb and an action. All the other ones just say Hama Alot. So why is it an infinitive verb and an action in 121? Well, it makes sense if it came off the ark in the 121st year. It makes sense if from the fig tree to 2028 is the end of that generation. It makes sense that the Lamed is not there for no reason. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to show you the Sophite letters. All the letters in the Hebrew are from God. You understand? This is a divine language. Every letter is from God. God chose 22 letters. Then he said, and five of them are going to be Sophite letters. What's a Sophite letter? Sophite in Hebrew means end. So, okay. If my name is Sam, I can write an S. Let me think. I can't do that way. Okay. I got to think of a letter, a word. Okay. The Sophite letter at the end can't be written in the normal way. It has to be written in a Sophite letter form. It has to be a letter that's written in the Sophite letter form. Okay? So the first Sophite letter comes right before Lamed, which is the letter of going up. And that's Kaf, which is the crowning of a king. The Sophite letter has to come down before the Lamed letter can go up, which is the story of the whole Bible, that Jesus comes down to a cloud before he goes up. But God put it in his letters to let you know when the end comes, the crowning accomplishment will have to come down first before the Lamed takes them up, because Lamata in Hebrew means to go up. Okay, so everything about Psalms 121 is saying an action takes place, and the action is Lamata, going up, which just happens to be in the perfect timing of what we're in. Okay, let's go. So now, what do we expect to happen in 2022? Because 2021, we're waiting for it to happen. 2020 already happened. We lived through it. 2021, we're still waiting for it to happen. We are waiting for the ascension. We're waiting for this Lamed to come alive. Okay, in 2022, what's going to happen? Let's look at 2022. Okay. It says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gate, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compact together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the Lord, the name of the Lord, according to the statutes given in Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Are you guys reading this too? What's the first word in verse 6? Okay, that word is not pray in Hebrew. It says sha'aloh, which means demand. It means demand for peace in Jerusalem. And it says sha'alu, which means they demanded. Okay? So in the Hebrew, it says they demanded peace in Jerusalem. Who demanded peace in Jerusalem? Now, if we study the Hebrew more, we'll see that the temple that is created is something that they had done and not something that God gave them. You understand? So 2022 seems to be that the church has left and Israel is now demanding peace. And they are not only getting peace, but in the beginning of it says, I rejoice when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So they go, now they got the house of the Lord and it's rebuilt. Okay? And they demanded peace. It's the same name as Saul. Okay? Saul was not a prayer. Saul was a demand. Give us a king. The peace and the temple is not just coming from the Antichrist. Israel's going to demand it. They're going to say, okay, well, split the land. We'll give you peace and we'll give you a temple and we'll give you Jerusalem. And somebody's going to agree to that. And God is not going to be happy about either one. Amen. Okay. Psalms 123. There will be more mistreatment of the Jews in 2023. Psalms 124. And the way I calculated this, it happens in the spring of 2024. Okay? Now, the spring of 2024 is just like now. Okay? We're about to move into spring of 2021. What is the world going to think? No, it's not. It's the spring of 2022. No, according to God, it's the spring of 2021. Okay? In the spring of 2024, which will be for them 2025, the Antichrist is going to move into the temple, the middle of the tribulation. And when they don't accept him as God, and they don't accept him to sit in their temple and claim himself to be God, this is what will happen. 2024, it says, the Antichrist will come to Jerusalem, and this is what happens in 24. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, oh, let Israel, man, not let Israel say, but let Israel now plead. Let Israel plead what Jesus said they would plead. What did Jesus say Israel would plead? Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what the scripture is saying. Now that you're being attacked, come on, let me hear you say it. Because when they say it, then what's going to come? The water's going to come out of the rock. Remember, speak to the rock, and water will come out of it. Jesus says, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When they say it, he's going to come. So in 2024, when they get attacked, it says this. It says, let Israel now say, no, let Israel now plead. Plead the word, nah, which means, like if I want to say, please meet my friend, nah, Lakata, my friend, you know. So I'm saying, please meet my friend, nah, okay? It is a plea. So it's in the Hebrew, it says, nah, Israel omeredze, what? Say this. Blessed is he who comes in the name. God says, now cry out to me. Because if you cry out to me, I'll come. But they don't do it in 2024. But God is now going to hide them away in the middle of this. Watch what happens. If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when the anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken. We have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So a flood of trouble went out against Israel. But God made a place for them in the wilderness. Do you guys remember reading that?
Yeah.
When, okay, I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 12. Watch this. Chapter 12, verse 14. I'll start. It says, verse 13. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled down to the earth, that's middle of the tribulation, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for time, and half a time. So for 3.5 years, God is going to protect Israel all the way till he comes back.
Yeah.
And he says if that time had not been cut off, no one would have survived. So, but look what's coming against them. It says, then from the mouth of the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. Look what Psalms 24 says. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept us away. So in Psalms 124, it's showing you this is the middle of the tribulation because this is the same description that he gives in the book of Revelation. Okay? So 2024 of spring, which is what I've calculated, is going to be Satan entering into the temple and declaring himself to be God. Okay? So remember, 2024, January of December 31st will have passed of 2024. January 1st, it'll be 2025 to them.
Right.
To God, it'll be 2024. And until March or April of that year, it'll still be 2024. But they'll look at it as 3.5 years because the year's not over with God until the spring, as we are right now, okay? In 2025, there will be a full attack that begins, okay, to destroy the Jews. In Psalms 126, God declares in heaven, he will return with his harvest. Do you hear that? So if I read Psalms 126, at the very end, and we're going to do a better job with this tomorrow, it says, he who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with the song of joy, carrying his sheaves with him. What are the sheaves? The harvest. It says, when he who left with the seeds in his hand, in tears, is going to come back with the harvest, with him.
Yes.
So the harvest is coming back, and that's declared in 126. In 127, the strong man declares he will have children. Who's the strong man? Jesus. The strong man is Jesus. He is going to come back, and he's going to have his own children. 127 talks about the strong man now returning and having his own children, which is who? The nation of Israel. Listen, when the woman flees, it says the woman who had the male child flee to the desert. If she had children and she's fleeing to the desert in the middle of the tribulation, what male child did she have? The church. Remember, she gave birth without going into tribulation. She gave birth with no birth pains. But now she's in the middle of the tribulation. Birth pains already started because the church left. And she's giving birth pains. And as she's giving birth pains, now the Antichrist comes against her, and it says the woman who gave birth to the male child is now being attacked by Satan, and a flood of water is going against her, and God gives her a place to hide. And 124 says she gets a place to hide. 127, he comes back, the strong man comes back, and he has all of, and he begins to have his children. In Psalms 128, the Jewish people is a description of the Jewish people are sitting at a table with the king, and he's saying, these are my children, and they're sitting at a table dining with Jesus in 128, okay? So now, if the Psalms have been accurately describing year by year, and it only took 3 years off, that was 2017, 2018, and 2019. And then, you know, God always rises back. So then in 2020, he says, let me get back to it. Worldwide judgment. Let's get back to it. 121, this is the time of the ascension. So this is what you're looking for, is that this time of ascension still stands before us, because it's still the 121st year. It's still 2021 in God. Yeah. And I showed you on Sunday how, you know, someone called me and said, you know what, I never even thought to ask anybody what September or October or November meant. I mean, it's just something that you don't do. Right. You go to school when you're a kid, you go, I'm going back to school in September. But no kids go, why is it called September? Right. You know what I mean? It's just what we've accepted as being truth, even though Satan has distorted the whole calendar for his own benefit so that you won't know what time it is. And he's done this. And now we call September, which is means seven, the ninth month. And we call November, you know, the ninth month, we call it, the 11th month. We call it the 11th month. And October is no longer eight. We call it the 10th month, you know? And so our whole calendar has been rewritten by a satanic cult called the Catholic Church. and so this Pope Gregory rewrites this whole calendar. And Daniel said, when he comes, when Satan comes, he will make an attempt to change times and season. One of his things is, I've got to get them off God's clock, okay? I got to get them off God's clock so that they don't understand what's going on. But we know what's going on, okay? And so, tomorrow, as we get into this, I'm going to send you another batch of notes, Pastor Ben. Okay. And as we get into this, we're going to see the rapture and how God planned it out in Genesis, okay? How the dividing of the waters, the people, places, and nations was spoken of in Genesis. And how he used words. See, this is what God does. He uses little words, and he plays these word games that is saying one thing, but it's saying something else at the same time. So I'm going to show you tomorrow what God said, and then what it said in Hebrew, and you'll go, that's crazy. Okay, so we'll look at it tomorrow. Praise God.
Amen. All right.